it's time to start buying real estate again.
We're our national leaders.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting on 860 AM in the Philadelphia and tri-state area. And as always, I ask that you contact family members and friends and invite them to tune in to 860 if they live in southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, or northern Delaware. And also, you know, there are so many ways to access our broadcast, including going to the internet and logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and clicking on the Listen Live link. Well, if you also received our email, send it out to family members and friends so that our list of people continue to grow who are involved in our campaign. Well, this is the first day of 2020. It's hard to believe, but it has flown by almost unbelievable. And our theme for this year is support American workers first. I don't think we could say anything more than we have to look out for American workers first. I'd like to begin the new year by saying a special thanks to Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, National Small Business Advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and also Curtis Ellis of the America First Project, and our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, always proud to be with you. First of all, my best wishes to you and yours for a great, great Happy New Year. And we certainly did a lot of great things through this broadcast during 2019, and with your help, we'll, and our creative panel as well, we'll be able to do a lot more things for America and American workers during 2020. And as we begin the new year, and by the way, a new decade, we're looking for even more ways to help American workers and the businesses that make, distribute, and sell made in and assembled in America products. Boy, I'll tell you, we have a lot to do. And because this is the beginning of the new year, I have some New Year's resolutions that I would like to mention. As we start off, first of all, let family members and friends know how important it is for them to support American made, because people are depending on jobs to support themselves and their families. Also, when you purchase something American made, let everybody know that you're considering that you're considerate of them offering those products, and let others know where those products are sold. And third, whenever you see labels, look at them closely. Look to see if there's a reasonable selection between foreign-made and American-made products available. And of course, make sure that you let the storekeepers, the managers, and the cashiers know that you're concerned about American-made products. During the last year, we talked about building the wall and poverty and all these other issues. This year, we are going to continue our efforts to make sure that America is first. And if you have any type of ideas on ways to support American workers, I suggest that you email them to me at michael@americanworkersradio.com, and I'll certainly share your ideas during my future radio commentaries and, of course, during our radio broadcasts. Also, I ask that you kindly go out of your way to let people know that they can hear our broadcast on the radio or on the internet. And because of you, we will even do much more better things in the year 2020. And because this is the first day of January, I am going to make sure that everybody on our panel has a day off, but I'm going to do something special. I'm going to have a look back at what we discussed during our first January broadcast of 2019. Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy. Today, I'm going to start off with Rich. How would you like to see things change in the USA, and how would you like to see things go at this White House meeting today for the benefit of American workers? Rich, Happy New Year.
You too, Michael. Happy New Year, guys. Good morning. I hope all of our listeners had a great Christmas, great New Year's. Very, very excited, Michael, for this year. I have to just first give a quick thank you to our team here at RJL Technologies, because for the fourth consecutive year and ninth time in 10 years since I started our company, we have surpassed our prior year's sales. I don't say that to brag. I don't take any credit for it. We have a great team here. And so Mark and all you guys can relate to this. And, you know, so we finished up with an up and down year, Michael, but we finished pretty strong and very excited for 2019. Now, I know that our esteemed and phenomenal audio engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, is chomping at the bit to talk about the wall. But let me say a couple things, because I know that it's going to be hard to, then we've got to let Henry get it. So I have a brand new article, Michael, at my site, richlogeshow.com, where I talk about the wall. I have the perfect argument for why the wall should be built. And it's actually, ironically, a Democrat argument, interestingly. So that argument as to why the wall should be built is, but if it saves one life, it's worth it. Now, Henry is going to come on in a moment, and I'm sorry, Henry, to steal your thunder, but I'm going to tell everyone what Henry's going to say. Henry's going to say, the wall's stupid because the Democrats going to run on tearing the wall down, to which I have a couple things to say about that. So first is, I've got a good Democrat argument for why the wall shouldn't go down, which is, but what about the environment? It's going to harm the environment if we take the wall down. Now, Henry will also say that forget the wall, we need comprehensive immigration reform, to which I'll say I 100% agree. But we had that proposed last year, Michael. We had it proposed that was the president's DACA reform, where you had nearly 2 million illegal aliens who would have received work permits. And in exchange for work permits, we would have done away with chain migration, which I have no problem with immediate family coming to visit, but your 16th generational removed cousin, half-brother, you know, gay, Muslim, transgender who had a sex change doesn't need to come to America. Also, we can end the diversity lottery because being from Timbuktu isn't a skill. And lastly, stay out of trouble, pay fines, pay taxes. In 10 years, we'll talk citizenship. Now, my opinion, I think that's a pretty fair offer, Mike. But the opposition party didn't even want to sit down. They didn't even want to talk about it and say, well, Mr. President, I'd like this. And the president would say, okay, well, let's talk. They just dropped. They said, no, Mark, nothing. We're not going to discuss. So what did the president do? He said what he said he would do, and he ran, which is that if there's no deal, it's better than a bad deal. So I say, Michael, not only should we build the wall, the only regret we should have after the wall is erected is that we can't see it from outer space. That's the only regret we should have after. So with that having been said, I'm going to now shut up on that.
Oh, Rich, I got to tell you, man, that was the first time I was ever in an argument that I didn't have to be involved in and lost before I even opened my mouth. That's amazing how you did that.
I didn't mean to speak for you. I did not mean to speak for you. Please, I always speak for myself.
Listen, you did speak for me, and you spoke well for me. I still think it's stupid.
Well, let me just add one thing. I agree that a wall on the southern border is only one method of stopping illegal people from coming to America. It's only one method. There should be several methods. There should be border patrol, the fence lets people know that they're coming to America without approval, period. If you see a house and it has a locked gate, you jump over the gate. You know you're entering without the approval of the person inside. That's all this is. At this point, the southern border is only one issue on the entire thing. The fact that they don't want to negotiate is a strange. I don't care if it's a barrier, it's a fence, it's whatever.
But, Michael, let me ask you something. Well, here's a question for everybody, okay, guys? So taxpayers have been funding wall expenditures for a little over a decade. Technically longer, but it wasn't part of the expenditure. So, you know, I'm not splitting hairs here. We've been funding it for a long time, okay? Why is it now? See, here's my question. It's fine to be for, it's fine to be against. I have no problem if you have an opinion on it. Great. But why is it that right now the opposition party has lost their collective mind?
I will tell you why, Rich, because they've agreed. If you go on YouTube, you will see every one of these people saying they need a barrier. President Clinton, in his State of the Union message, said the country needs a wall. It needs a barrier. It needs a place for people to know you don't come in unless you're invited or permitted or approved. He said that in his State of the Union. Then came George Bush. He said the same thing. President Obama, the same thing. Schumer, the same thing. Every person said the same thing. If you look on YouTube, you'll get those clips of them talking about the same thing. What happens is when they talk, it's one thing. When they finally have to take action, here's where the problem is. This means action. This means, by the way, I don't like the whole situation at the southern border because it has made social services for these people into an entire industry in America. And that's not good. We are putting out, look at the money that's put out for the people at the wall. Number one, we bring them in for human services. They have to get housing. They have to get clothing. They have to get food stamps. They have to be, you know, taken care of medically. Why are we paying that bill? Did we put on the referendum and vote for it? Why are we paying for it? Okay. Larkin, I know you're waiting.
It cracks me up. I've got just to say something about the wall and where the holes are in Henry's argument. I visualize the people that I'm talking to are very much against the wall. I talked to a man who spent 36 years as a border control officer in San Diego, in Michigan, and he retired in Buffalo. I mean, so this guy's got to be able to tell me. It ultimately ended up being a political argument. But when I hear people talk about the wall won't work, I visualize them seeing or watching a Roadrunner cartoon. They think you're going to put up the wall, and all of a sudden Roadrunner's going to, bam, run right into the wall. I can't get in there. Let's go somewhere else. It's not as much the physicality of the wall, it's the statement that you make. People made it over, under, around, and through the Berlin Wall all the time. Some people got shot trying to do it. Other people made it through the wall. The wall is like the foundation of a policy. Today, as we speak, 10,000 people are coming across the border and into Texas in McAllen, Texas. 10,000 people a week are coming through that border. They need a wall so bad it's not funny. And there needs to be a door. And when you come to the door, you need to say why you want, well, I want in because political asylum. Well, the international law on political asylum disallows you going through any country to go across three countries to get to the fourth country because that's where you would prefer to be. Sorry.
Right.
That is a direct violation of the law. You want asylum, you get out of the country, and you go to the first country you come to and say, give me asylum. So the people from Guatemala go to Colombia, which, by the way, is doing wonderful things to turn that country around. Now that the Medellin cartel is gone, and the government is gone, Colombia is going to be a really strong, powerful democracy, successful in about two more years. They have given us the example of what South American countries can do in order to turn things around.
I agree with you 1,000%, Larkin. Those countries have a lot of opportunities to come up, walk up the ladder of success. The barrier in America should have been up years ago. The barrier is an alert. It's like when you pass through the train tracks and the train is ready to pass you by, the gate goes down. It's your caution. The barrier is an alert signal that adds caution. Everyone and anyone knows if you go over that gate at the train tracks, you could be hit by the train. Well, the southern border of this country has been open for so long. Mark, you know, I've been to Canada 10, 12 times. Every time I've gone into Canada, I had to show all my papers, the whole deal. You know how it is to get into Canada.
If I can make just one, before Mark jumps in, if I can just make one, let me see if I can form a discussion here. It's not about walls. It has nothing to do with walls. Nothing whatsoever. Because if you don't build a wall, what are you going to do when they run across the field? Shoot them? Drop them in their tracks? Will the wall be completely impervious? No. It's all about, do you want open borders where anybody in the world, and by the way, we take on more people come to this country and apply for citizenship than any other country in the world.
And obviously
other countries, you can combine their numbers. But it's not about anything except, do you want open borders or do you want controlled borders?
Larkin, I need a piece of you here, man.
Here we go.
Yeah, I got to say something here. So, Larkin, why do you think people come to this country?
Why do they come to this country? Because it's the land of fruit and nuts.
Right. Okay. So my solution to that would be, instead of building a wall when you can have a piece of paper, is punish the people that are employing them. If you're employing illegal immigrants and you get fined every week or every month or whatever, thousands of dollars to a point where it's not worth it, you won't give them a job. Now we'll walk home. You don't need a wall.
But there's a problem there, Henry, too. And the problem is this. Once they're here in this country, then government has to take care of them. They have to give them housing, food stamps, health care.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
That's false.
Once you're in this country, you cannot go into a hospital and not get service.
They can't get welfare.
They can get welfare.
They can't get welfare.
They will not allow people to starve on the street. They won't allow people to go to a hospital and not get taken care of on the spot. They simply won't allow it. Government.
So change those rules. You don't need a wall to change that. All you need is a piece of paper.
Listen. Once they get across the border, they are our problem. They're not their own problem. They are our problem. So the fact of the matter is, do you want somebody in this country that has no skills, that brings virtually nothing to the country except hunger, illness, pestilence? That's what it is. I'm not trying. I mean, they're wonderful people, but they need to stop in Colombia and help them build Colombia. But they come through, just from Guatemala, they come through three countries to get to ours. We cannot be the landing ground for the remainder of the world. We can't, Henry.
I'm not suggesting that. All I'm suggesting is the wall's stupid.
We're not feeding our own people right now. 20% of the people under the age of 10 years old go to bed
hungry
every night.
Every night. Being in human services, I hear from people who tell me, oh, my God, I just cannot believe how this is happening in my family. We've been here for 100 years. And, you know, by the way, we need an immigration policy in the United States. We needed it for 40 years when all this southern border stuff began. People always came through the proper channels, and they knew that they weren't going to be given all of the programs. And by the way, majority of the program problems started after the Depression, when they started with all the programs in America, welfare and everything else. And by the way, let's just say this. Every illegal immigrant that comes to America, if you are on our land, you become a ward of the state where you are. You're on those taxpayers, no matter what anyone says, because that's the way our system works. When you come to America and you become ill, you are given health care. You are given housing subsidies. Your children are put in the schools. They may not be known to you that they are in the schools, but they are in the schools with your children. They get food stamps because in America, no one is pushed aside. We push our own people aside by letting them go to bed hungry at night. Our workers go without jobs for 30 years while all of these industries were taken all over the world. There was poor leadership in America for many, many, many years. And by the way, all of that, in addition to the schools, city services, how about human services? Who is paying for that? Where is that money coming from? Who is paying for it? The people who are working, our senior citizens, who have savings, their homes are taxed, their savings are taxed. This is how it works. It doesn't just doesn't all of a sudden these people. How about Homeland Security? How about crime prevention, drug enforcement, all the other things that are, you know, directed to the American people? Well, we're the American people, but the illegal people, I don't understand why they aren't discussing these bread and butter issues in Washington. As I told you a couple weeks ago, if I went to Washington, they would hear a lot more than what they're going to hear at the White House and in all these other negotiations, because they're not addressing health care, housing, food stamps, schools, city services, the whole gig. How about Border Patrol, Homeland Security? All those are costing us as taxpayers moolah, money, piñones, whatever you want to call it. Yes.
Mark is chomping at the bit. Mark, you got to get in here.
How you doing, guys? First, Happy New Year's. I want to switch gears here. But, you know, Happy New Year's to everybody, the listeners. 2019, here we come. I'm glad Henry's on the show now, too. 2019's already better. But a lot of great stuff going on. First, I was big on the a little bit of a Walmart kick there, you know, our listeners, whatnot. It's time to do your part. I always pick on Walmart, even though some of their food's from here and whatnot. But if you go to Walmart, if you have to, I don't. I picked on my mother this morning. Go somewhere else. But if you do go, make sure it's made in America. Because, again, they've done things to this country from the beginning that just can't be fixed. Small-town America sold out a lot of our country for the dollar, and I just don't agree with it. A lot of the, you know, it was all about growing the dollar and the portfolios and the way they steal intellectual properties and put small business, Larkin, you know, out of business. But again, with the people, it's like if you work at Ford, I was talking to a great friend, if you work at Ford, drive a Ford car, they're paying your payroll, they're paying your pension, your retirement. It's just common sense again, guys. Don't drive a Nissan and expect to get the, you know, million-dollar pension if you're working at Ford. So a lot of good things coming this year on the border wall. So I've got 11 facilities. I got control devices at all of them. I'm in Buffalo, so I believe I'm closest to any panel member to the border. It's 25 minutes from me. I've been across the border. You've got the Peace Bridge. You've got the Rainbow Bridge. You got the Thousand Islands Bridge. We got Lake Erie. We got Niagara River. So we got a natural device. You could swim across. Niagara River's pretty tough. I've been in there. The undertow is incredible. But you have a control device, same as on General Welding. I had to, through the years, my first crew I trusted. We had an unbelievable team. It started with three people, then grew to 10. Then I had to put access control. I had to control all my abrasives, all my usables, because human nature would just overuse things. So I put control devices, a tool room, a parts room to walk in. Everything's controlled. Same as the Peace Bridge along the northern border. It's all controlled. New York State has the, you know, again, right from the Niagara River, Lake Erie, Niagara River, Ontario, Lake Ontario, and then the St. Lawrence Seaway. All control devices, and you have to control. It's just the way it has to be done. I, like you, Larkin, know a lot of Border Patrol people, and they should really be interviewing them because they need a control device. You know, whatever, if they want to put a river in, fine, you know, along the southern border. But there has to be a device with entrances and exits, and it's the only way to control an issue.
Well, you have, you in your area, Mark, along that Canadian border, you have a lot of rivers. Oh, yeah. Because I drove that from Niagara Falls all the way up to Quebec.
As of the first of the year now, today, you can't go into Canada if you had a DWI.
Well, see, now they're showing us something that we should have done a long time ago. You know, by the way, sometimes these illegals stop me on the street and bum me for money or whatever. And sometimes I will talk to them. And I, you know, I'll say this to you. Illegal people just don't suddenly appear like moon people in any city in America. They gained access to America through our southern border, which is now known as, you know, the place we're not supposed to be allowing people to come. Why the people in Washington haven't taken action on this 30 years ago simply is beyond me.
Yeah,
every little thing, Mark, that comes up. Canada was smart. They focused on border security years and years ago. I remember going through those booths, those security booths, 30 years ago.
Oh, and they're tough to get
through.
They're
tough over there.
And they're tougher now, and there's only, you know, the poor semi-drivers and whatnot. They wait hours. Our buses get caught for an hour or two. They unload the whole 56-passenger bus.
The most unfortunate thing is, in America, is the few national leaders, both elected and even appointed people, they don't understand what poverty is, what poverty they helped cause in this country by poor leadership, by allowing all this to, like, whatever, let's come on in, let's do what we want. You know, we need the population or whatever. We'll have open schools, we'll have this, we'll have that, we'll give you everything.
No.
You should come enter the country at invitation.
Now, Mike, I sent you guys an email, Chuck Schumer, 9 years ago on illegal immigration. They should just play that on national TV.
What's changed, though, Mark? But, Mark, that's what I'm asking.
He wants everything
what
that President Trump talked about,
now.
But 9 years ago he said it's incredible how they change.
Yeah, I think one of the stations, which they won't do, I think they should gather up all the clips. I mentioned that to Henry about a month ago. We should gather up all the clips and play them. Well, the people who are on TV, they could show them as well as play them. And it's ridiculous what they're saying. They're saying exactly what we've been saying on this broadcast for a long time. What Obama said, what Clinton said, what Bush said, what Trump is saying, we need a barrier. We need a warning post to tell people you just don't walk in here from nowhere, like from outer space.
It's
you just don't do that.
Of some sort.
Well, I'd still say you have to resolve the argument. Listen, the Democrats get around this by not saying it in explicit terms. Democrats, that's not true. Liberals and progressives get around this by not using explicit language. Are you for open borders where anybody can walk up and say, hey, I'm here, let me fill out the paperwork and walk in the country? And that's what Nancy Pelosi is for, period.
Well, you're right. They should ask the question and get an answer point blank. That's exactly how it should be played. If I was the president, I would call a big news conference, and I would want it televised, and I would ask these questions, just like you asked the question. I will ask the questions, how much is this, you know, on our school systems? How much is this hurting our food stamp program, our housing program, our healthcare services? I'd ask these questions. All of the hospitals have records on who has insurance, who came in out of from the door without any insurance whatsoever. They can make that report, give them 2 days, and it's all on the table.
They don't
want to do it is the problem, because it's a business. Human services has become an industry in itself here in the United States of America.
Amen.
The entire illegal immigration issue, Michael, has been a bipartisan problem for years. And again, sorry for the shameless plug, because both sides have a narrative. So the Democrats have a narrative about illegal immigration. The Republicans have a narrative about illegal immigration. there's generally been the principle of mutual destruction between the both of them. It's a great issue to go back and forth on until the reality TV star president runs and wins. And now the Willard Romneys and the Nancy Pelosi's of America want to talk about the president's character and being xenophobic and all this other crap. At my site, Michael, I go into all the data about all of the costs, whether financial or otherwise. And because the Rich Loggia Show and this show is not a show, Michael, we are not a place that just wants to cherry pick data to suit a conclusion we want. That's a fair point. Our listeners deserve to know that. When you look at the actual rates of illegal immigration crime, they are not as high. Now, in addition to being illegal, they are not as high as Americans. That argument there is actually further proof why there's a remedy needed, because we have enough Larkin American criminals to deal with, predominantly in the Democrat cities, no offense, Philadelphia. So we have enough to worry about already. We have enough Americans to worry about who are not eating. We do not need to fund those who are coming from other places in the world, Michael, in South Central Latin America, which I have also written extensively about, that they are coming from some of the most dangerous places on planet Earth. Does that mean all of them are some of the most dangerous people on planet Earth? No, but the same damn reason you lock your door every night, Michael, is because we don't take that chance. We don't believe in that.
Right, exactly.
Sovereignty and safety and security and the number one. If the politicians in Washington, Michael, actually went at this issue logically with common sense, Kate Steinle would be alive today. Molly Tibbetts would be alive today. Officer Singh died last week in California at a police officer who came from Fiji. The guy immigrated from another country to die in America at the hands of an illegal alien. Fiji is probably safer than California. Larkin, where he died.
Yeah.
We have enough to worry about, Michael. And I'm going to come back to it one more time. You guys want an argument for your Democrat friends and family? What's the Democrat argument, Mark, about why to ban guns? Well, Mark, if it saves just one life, why build a wall? But, Michael, if it saves just one life.
Well, you know, Rich, I'll ask.
And Michael, hold on. Let me say one other thing, because this has come up on this show before. Let me clear it for once and for all. And again, I'm not an expert. I'm not trying to say I know more than you guys or all listeners. I've done the research and the data. When we use the word welfare, we got to be specific about it. What can illegal aliens get compared to what they cannot get? What illegal aliens can get is they are potentially, I say potentially because it's no guarantee, they are potentially eligible for women and infant children with benefits. They are potentially eligible for emergency room health care. It is why you will find in largely populated areas, in an emergency room, you will find many Americans, and you also find many people who are not illegal. Now, they don't have a sign that says, I'm an illegal alien, Mark. They don't say that, right? So it's not. So that's what they can get. When you add up everything, when you add it up, you have differing figures. You have differing figures, Michael. You've had some say $100 billion, some say $200 billion. I've gone with a number that I believe is the most accurate of what I've read, and the total costs annually are at about $116 billion. Now, Mark, let me ask you a question as a small business owner. Would an extra $116 billion help you?
A little bit, Rich.
Let's stop pretending, both sides of the aisle, that this isn't a major policy problem in our country, because it is. And I'm going to come back again, like Trump or not, we had a great first step to remedying this issue with the DACA proposal, where we start getting some of those who are here. We had a good offer. Democrats weren't interested. Why? Because they want the illegal aliens to be able, Michael, to vote right now. Just say what it is. Everybody's got to come clean, like Trump or not. Tells you exactly what he thinks. He tells you why he's doing what he's doing. It's why the entrenched Washington establishment, it's not a swamp. It's a damn cockroach nest. And all we're doing is shining the light, Mark, on all the roaches, and they are all scurrying right now. And that's what's happening. That's exactly what's happening right now.
It's the truth.
So let me add something on top of that, Rich. And this I address to you and to Mark, the two people that are affected by it probably the most. When I heard that we were in day 10 or 12 or whatever it is of the government shutdown, which, by the way, I applaud for, I thought, why are we closing down the government? Do we not have a budget? I mean, I've got to dig into this and try to figure out what the heck's going on there. Why do we need additional funding? Don't we pass a budget every year like any business does? Well, you know, you have to take a look at the budget that the federal government passed that covers October 1st, 2017 to September 30th, 2018. It was named America First. I don't know how it got that name. But listen to this. It's going to kill you. Now, I was going to say that, and here are the numbers. The fiscal year 2019, the federal budget will be $4.407 trillion. $4.4 trillion is our federal budget for 2019. The U.S. government estimates in this budget will receive $3.4 trillion in revenue.
And revenue, right, Larkin, 1,000% you're correct.
This creates a $980 billion deficit. And guess what? We approved this budget. Hey, Mark, how about that? How about if you approved a budget and if in the seventh or eighth month of the budget you went, oh, I forgot this, I'll just spend the money. Who cares? I mean, my small business would be still operating if I could create a budget that could run a 20% deficit and still be operating.
Larkin, Mark, and Rich, I would say what you just said is 1,000% correct, and I use that idea everywhere I go. Now is the time for us to ask publicly, how can we spend 4-point-something trillion and take in 3-point-something trillion every year? That's why the debt clock is going up. Every American's going in debt. How do we end it? This might be the time to ask questions. Exactly where are the dollars going that are so urgently focused in that $4 trillion budget?
It's as clear as the nose on any one of our faces. Absolutely clear.
And can I say, because Mark and Henry,
by increasing tax,
your guys' exchange, it points out something. Henry asked, why are people coming? Right, Larkin? Because we are, despite our flaws, light years better from other places. I'm not trying to say that arrogantly. It's just a fact. So all of us, Michael, every one of us, we have benefited in some way from illegal immigration. We have. We benefited from cheap labor. We benefited from people coming over. I would never, now, my statement, I would never dare say that to an angel parent whose son or daughter was killed by, I would never say that. All of us to some extent have. But you know what, Michael? The wells run dry. Now's the time. Now's the time. And we have, I'm going to put my amateur political strategist cap on here. Now we're in a place that I frankly don't like. We're in a game of chicken now, Mark. We're in a game where the first side that blinks loses. And Henry's wish will absolutely come true that no wall will go up if the president acquiesces to the Democrats. If that happens, then we might get a Hillary Clinton as president. So I don't like that position. I don't like that being in that place right now. But it's time, it's also time to assert elections have consequences. It's time to assert it. When President Obama did it, he was within his rights to do it. President Obama also had a Democrat Congress, or at least one House of Congress, until his final 2 years. And he asserted elections have consequences. Unfortunately, Larkin, Republicans helped him along with running up our debt double in 8 years than in the prior 230. So it's time to assert elections have consequences. And it's time to assert, Mark, why we won in 2016. And the Democrats are either going to come to the table and say, wall's going up, fine, but we want this. We can reason, Mike. We can be reasonable here. But no wall, that shutdown remains. At least that's what I think the president would do and say.
I think, you know, what you just reported, Richard, is right. And, you know, it's so true, Larkin. It's amazing how much political leaders want to spend the tax dollars of America's people with no concern for the American people who are paying the taxes. They don't care about them because those are the people that are working, who have savings, who are paying into the tax system. Look how they want to spend the money by giving more and more welfare and all to Americans. Not only to illegals, but to Americans. They have never addressed in 25 years. Every political person I've spoken to has never responded to me when I said, how are we going to end poverty in America? Why is Philadelphia known as the major city of America, as the kingdom of poverty? Why? Why is that? Where are the solutions that they're saying, well, we are going on a 3-year campaign to end poverty in this particular zip code or that zip code? I don't see any of it. Why not? They want to spend our money, but they don't want to give solutions. And solutions, if you fall down, you get up. If you have a flat tire on the road, you change the tire or you sit there forever. What is the problem, Larkin?
Well, yeah, you know, it's amazing how both sides, but really primarily the Democrats, can politicize issues that have no place in the political world. It isn't fair. So again, my correction this last year, my correction was term limits. This year, my correction is, okay, Congress, here we are. I don't care how you do it because we're going to have to negotiate. But all of the privileges that you have as a member of Congress, all 523 or however many there are, all of you must immediately go on to Medicare and Medicaid.
Right.
You must go on to the programs that you, by vote, control. You can no longer have your own program that's for congressmen and senators. Sorry, that goes away. Secondly, if you don't balance the budget, you don't get paid.
There you go.
Well, you know, Larkin, that's what I was just going to say. You know, in the state of Pennsylvania and in other states as well, you have to have a balanced budget, a dollar in and a dollar out. I know what it is to have to pay over the dollar you collect. Boy, do I know that. But I will say this. On a federal level, I think they should have a balanced budget act, and we should approve it at the next election. And what that would do is we would no longer have $4 trillion in expenses and $3 trillion in income. That would immediately end our annual deficit. All it would continue to go up is the interest that it has to be paid. But we have to end this nonsense where we just continue to authorize. How do you authorize money for expenses that you don't have the money for? Mark, how can you do that in your business? Some person comes in and says, oh, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. How do you do that if you don't have the funds to do it?
Yeah, you have to. Larkin touched on $4.4 trillion, you know, budget, and you're bringing in 3.4. It's the old lemonade stand I pick on. You got to bring in more than you spend. We live and breathe that. For 2 years, 3 months, I never missed a Thursday here meeting my special advisory team that we created to review just that. You have to make sure you're making a dollar. You have to do your due diligence. Larkin, that's incredible what you bring up there. You can't run any business like that. But like you said, you know, Mike, you've got to know exactly what you're spending, what you're charging. And it took 30 years to get better and better and better. And we're fine-tuning every day, every week. we had to raise prices, raise wages, watch our expenses, control what we're bringing in, and then smooth it out because every month's different throughout the year, especially with this fourth quarter just ending. That was our retail run. Now we go from 200 miles an hour, you know, last week to 10, 20 miles an hour. We got to control for that. So, you know, to have a businessman in place, it's funny, I hear my mother's non-political, or the people I hear lately about Trump, why did he take that job? Why do they pick on him all the time? What can the guy do? It's all I hear lately around, you know, they feel, you know, he doesn't get any credit, and I don't think he needs, he operates other ways. But we've got to answer that problem Larkin brought up, $4.4 million budget, and you're only bringing in $3.4
million. That's insane. You know, one other thing I'd like to add here. Watching what happened in Canada, I don't know. I know that it's over 30 years because I've been there many times and I love Canada. But I have to say this to you. The border issue should have been on the voters of America ballot years ago, not just left up to the 535 national elected leaders in Washington. Not just up to them. We should be the people, and we should be selling it to the voters.
Michael, hold on. I got to interrupt. I'm sorry. I agree it should have been, yes, in the past, but it was on the ballot in 2016. It was.
Well, in this way, but I think that particular statement,
yes.
Do we want a barrier on the southern border or anywhere else people are invading our country?
It was on the ballot, Michael, just because literally an issue. We know when you know where candidates stand on issues, that issue by default, de facto, is on the ballot. Okay. So candidate Trump ran specifically on an issue. Hillary Clinton ran on, we don't need to build walls, we need to build bridges. And then we sent her packet. The majority of people and the majority of popular vote, Larkin. I know, California. I know. We still run it. You guys know that place still being run, right? Popular vote. Can you imagine if George Washington lived today and heard someone tell him about the popular vote? They're still running the play. Because, Michael, the play is still being run by the opposition because the majority of people in the majority of states don't want the politics. That's why. Fact. That's a fact. I understand that Dems won the House. I get you. House represents districts. Senate represents states. Senate and presidency confirm the majority of people in the majority of states don't want the Democrat politics. That doesn't mean the Republican politics are perfect. We beat up on them plenty. But I disagree a little bit with you, Michael. It was on the ballot. It was.
Well, in this respect, but it wasn't termed, I am voting. It should have been a separate referendum, totally. Let's hear from the American people, because then if they agree to that, then they have to agree to all the health care costs and the school costs and the food stamps and every other service that we give to a person who may or may never be eligible to become a citizen of this great country. An illegal, once you enter, unless you have an amnesty, you're not going to be able to ever become legal, become part of a payroll system legally. It's too much work. Let's cut to the chase. Let's put the wall up, set immigration policy back to where it was 40 years ago. 40 years ago, people had to enter the door with an invitation from a family member, a friend. You had to have your own health care for the 60 days or 90 days that you were here. This is all past history in America. Who changed those laws? That's the big question. Who changed them, Larkin?
And as much as the Democrats want to make everybody believe that Republicans want an agrarian society, is that they want purists, and we're like Hitler. We want nothing but white, blonde-haired, white Americans in this country. I'm here to tell you that if you pass a policy for controlling our borders, the number of people that we admit into this country will not change. We're not calling for a halt. We're calling for control.
Control, that's exactly right. I mean, nobody is saying that we shouldn't allow people. We need people, especially if our industries grow. We will need people. But do you want somebody who's coming in legally with the paperwork where they can go and sign up to be part of the employment situation in this country? Of course you do.
There was a point when immigration would say, okay, this is a really nice family. Here you go, guys. Here are 5 tickets on a Greyhound bus, and they're to East Bumswats, Iowa, which is where we think you ought to go with your skills and your talents and everything. And you just go to East Bumswats. There will be some human services people on the other side of this bus ride who will give you some help and get you settled and get you started and help you in your acclimation to this country. What is even funnier on top of all of this is the fact that you're going to hear from Republicans in the cloakrooms, I don't want these people coming to my state. Get us off that. We don't want that. We want them in the populated area. We want them in L.A. and New York and Chicago, where we can truly make a difference as far as the vote is concerned, and where we can flood markets that are already overpopulated as far as work is concerned. They don't want to go into the hinterlands. They want to go to the big markets. That's why the big markets are the way they are.
You know, I want to ask you something. I'm going to ask every one of you, and please give an answer in 1 minute. Have any of you heard a national leader offering an outline to the American people as to how much it costs for an illegal to come to America, and how much does it cost for a legal person to come to America? How much does it cost the taxpayers? Okay, Larkin, you are up.
Well,
how much does it cost for an illegal as opposed to someone coming legally here?
The only thing I can throw out is that since the whatever that was, the Mariel boatlift or whatever it was that came out of Guatemala and the country below it, and all of these people on buses and flatbed trucks that were paid for by progressives, that these people didn't pitch in and throw money into a hat and rent an 18-wheeler with a flatbed on it and ride it from Guatemala to Mexico. Our friend George Soros and all of those people are the people who paid for that, paid for the buses, paid for the box lunches that were distributed as they made their way to Mexico. I mean, George Soros is the devil incarnated. Here's a man that wants to destroy America as we know it today. And yet he lives in this country and claims that he's an American. I'm not sure how that happens. But no, I have not heard a politician ever make a reference to a solution.
If it costs the American taxpayers $30, $40, or $50 per illegal immigrant, that's not hard to believe when you figure health care, food stamps, housing, border patrol, homeland security, police, crime. That's not hard to understand. It was quoted at one time that it was 70,000. I don't know if that's a fact or is it 50,000. But I'd like to hear some national leaders saying the reason we want border security in America is because it's costing you, the taxpayer, this much money. I have not heard that yet. Have you, Rich?
Well, I'm not elected and I will never run. I don't think I'll ever run for office except school board. I might run for school board, Mark, and I already got my slogan, education, not indoctrination. That'd be the slogan. So, again, Michael, I'd encourage people get to my site. I went through a lot of the data and, you know, in between education and health care and other familial costs, the costs of the financial burden of illegal immigration, also factoring into the equation taxes that illegal aliens have paid,
the numbers, you can calculate them pretty thoroughly, actually. So
I'd like to see some real national leaders come forward. People who want to be leaders, right? Remember, not just followers, come forth and say, this is how much it costs based upon school, health care, food stamps, housing, crime control, all of this put together per illegal person. And then what does it cost for a legal person entering the country who has come here, got his paper stamped to welcome them to the country? They know why they're coming. They know where they're going. They know who they're staying with. How much does it? I don't think it costs much for a legal person to come here as opposed to an illegal. And that's why I think we need barriers. I think we need all people putting political parties aside and let's get this thing finalize, get an immigration policy that we can all live with and respect.
You know, I think I told you guys a long time ago, San Antonio, Texas, that I met that one lady after the movie showing, and she came up, she was crying, she said the movie reminded me a lot of what she went for, but her family in Mexico, like 50 family members raised, I believe it was 50,000 if not more, chose her as the best fit one to go to the United States of America and make a go of it, and she said, I was so honored. And she came here with a purpose, though, and the money was used for many things, legal things, getting their first apartment, first job, all that type of thing, Mike. But that was a plan. That person you want here.
That's right. And that is how our agency in Philadelphia was started 110 years ago. It was started to help welcome people who were being welcomed to America because of the Industrial Revolution. There was no cost. In fact, that this agency was founded before the first human service program was instituted in the United States, when things were done under charities and under churches and under community groups. Now that all the government has taken over these ideas of charity and, you know, benefits for the people coming from organizations, that's where we are today. That's why we're going $1 trillion a year in debt. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, this was a great first week of the New Year program. I want to say thank you to Larkin Conley, Rich Loges, Mark Andel, Henry Chaplinsky, and all of you who are going out of your way to make sure that American workers are on the minds and the hearts of everyone. Our theme, working together for the best interests of America and American workers, will bring about success. Please do help us out in every way that you can. Closing thoughts, Mark.
Yeah, one country, one team. Common sense, guys. Got to bring it back. You can't go to school for it. Let's roll.
Happy New Year, Mike, and all of our listeners. Get ready. Buckle up. We're going to have a hell of a year. Best year ever.
Very good.
Radio, Mike.
And Henry?
The wall's stupid. Pass it on.
And Michael, I wanted to add, black people and other minorities have been voting for Democrats for the last 60 years, and guess what? They're still poor. They're still uneducated. They still can't get jobs. And their society just doesn't meet the standards of this country.
Thank you, Larkin. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours, may God bless all of you and may God bless America.